You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Burson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 1, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. to pray fervently, 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the answer for America. I want you to fly on your private airplanes to the Melbourne airport. I want Wickham Road and Suntree Boulevard to line up with cars, because every Wednesday at 6 p.m. from now on in until America gets saved, I am holding America's Day of Repentance. In Nineveh, the whole country was doomed because they had sinned. America's sinned. We're under judgment. But they fasted and they prayed and they repented. God saved the nation. I'm believing that for America. So you say, well, I'm glad y'all are doing that. No, that means you. That means you, 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 you. I mean, if you're 5 to 105, you're supposed to be here because this is your country. Okay. Now, you're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. America, is there an adult in the room? America, is there an adult in the room? As the curtain comes up, Jesus has just completed commanding his 12 apostles all kinds of good things about Christianity, and they tell us so we learn how to live the Christian life.
Verse 1, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to preach and to teach in their cities,
to continue his ministry.
Verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, 3, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?
Now, this is John the Baptist. At this time, he is in prison because he told King Herod, King Herod, you are living and married your brother Philip's wife, and that's a sin. So Herod got offended and put John in prison. Now, we know that John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, because when he saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, John said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he baptized him, Jesus went under the water to say, I'm going to die for your sins. Jesus came up out of the water, say, I'm going to arise from the dead. John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove light on Jesus. And John the Baptist heard God the Father say from heaven, This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus also knows that John the Baptist was a scholar of God's word. Remember, he was a son of Zechariah, the high priest, and his mother was Elizabeth, both of the tribe of Levi, Levitical priesthood. So he knew that there was a first advent of Messiah, but he also knew that there were two advents. So what he's asking, is this the first advent or is this a second advent?
Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Jesus knew that John was a Bible scholar. They called it the Torah. And he knew that John would know, oh, this is the first advent. Because in the first advent, Jesus is going to perform all of these miracles.
6. And blessed is he that shall not be offended in me.
Jesus sends John the Baptist a blessing. And he said, I know that you're being persecuted, but great is your reward in heaven. When you're persecuted for the Lord, don't be so gloomy about it. Be glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Amen. I'm going to get a lot of rewards.
7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John.
Now all the multitudes are there now to hear Jesus. And so Jesus says, I'm going to explain to you who is John the Baptist.
For what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?
When you went out there to hear John preach and be baptized to baptize you, did you go out there to find somebody wishy-washy, up one day and down the next, happy one day, down the next, joyous one day, depressed one day, wishy-washy, wishy-washy? No, 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 no. John the Baptist was straight on, because anybody who knows they are sent from God and knows what their purpose is, they are steady Eddie.
Amen.
8. But what were ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses.
Did you go out to see somebody who sleeps on my pillow soft sheets? Of course you did not. John the Baptist wore camel's hair and a leather girdle. He was not here to have designer clothes or to be comfortable. He was here on purpose. You have a purpose. When are you going to stop trying to be so, have so much fun? When are you going to get about your Father's business?
9. But what were ye out to see? A prophet? Nay, I say unto you, and more than a prophet.
A prophet is an anointed speaker, one who has the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and speaks the word of God. He says, yes, John the Baptist was a prophet, but he's more than that.
Verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written.
It is written in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4.
Behold, I send my messenger before thy face.
A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah 40, verse 4. It was prophesied of John the Baptist. He would prepare the way for the Lord.
Which shall prepare thy way before thee.
That's what I said.
Verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
In the flesh, John the Baptist was one of the greatest prophets he had had. But notice that I said, in the flesh.
And notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
When you die, and if you're saved and you go back to God, you're not in your flesh anymore. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So what he's saying here, John the Baptist did what he was sent to do. But when we're in the flesh, much of the memory of the world that then was, world, Aeon, Greek, age, 2 Peter 3:6, we were all there, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. When you come into this flesh age, one time in the flesh, you don't remember that. So see, even John the Baptist did not remember who he was, and God's about to tell us that. So when a loved one dies, if they are saved and they go before the Lord in the spirit body, then you know the rest of the story.
Amen. Amen.
12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Now, Jesus is still explaining about John the Baptist because he's talking about the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was when we're all there. Everything was great. We were all created at the same time. We're all the same age. That's why I'm not interested in age. We're all the same age. But there was no sickness, no death. But suddenly something violent happened. In Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, I will be God. And in Revelation chapter 12, a lot of God's children followed him. So there's a great overthrow of the kingdom. Now, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. Right now, the United States of America, we were a Christian nation, Jesus, Lord, Bible, book. But something has happened. The enemy has come in, and the political system of the Antichrist, the Socialist Communist Marxist Party, has overtaken and violently taken America, and yet not one shot has been fired.
Yeah. 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John.
It doesn't mean until they prophesied about John. And again, Isaiah 40, verse 4, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. There's another prophet that prophesied about him, and we'll get to him in a moment.
14. And if you will receive it.
Jesus says, now, if you can wrap around your brain what I'm about to say, and I say the same thing, see if you can get this.
This is Elias.
Elias is Elijah.
Which was for to come.
Okay. Now you say, well, there's no such thing as reincarnation. That's right. There's only one time in the flesh. But the prophet Elijah did not die. In the book of Kings, he was taken up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. And since flesh and blood cannot end the kingdom of God, he obviously was translated into his spirit body. See, you're a spirit. We're all a spirit. Your body is not who you are. So, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, it's also prophesied in Malachi, one of the minor prophets. Malachi's name means messenger. It says in Malachi chapter 4, behold, I will send the prophet Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, there are two comings of the Lord. The first coming of Jesus. So Jesus is saying that the spirit of Elijah hopped himself into John the Baptist's body, and that was Elijah. However, in Revelation chapter 11, and the book of Zechariah, we find there are two candlesticks that stand beside the Lord. They are called the two witnesses, and they are coming in the spirit of Elijah, just like John the Baptist. Now, the two witnesses are even now pumping the truth into God's 7,000 elect alive on planet Earth right now who are telling the truth and are not going to be deceived by the Antichrist. What does the Elijah anointing tell you? They are two fathers. When they were coming to John the Baptist, some of the devil's children came to him and he said, ye generation of vipers. A viper is a serpent. One of the devil's name is serpent. He's not a snake. In the garden, that is a metaphor. That was a devil. He beguiled Eve. Paul says in Corinthians, exopatio Greek, wholly seduced her, and she bore Cain. Cain's descendants are the Kenites, the children of the devil. They say they're Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. So John the Baptist knew that. So the two witnesses are even now taking the scroll and pouring it into the 7,000 elect, and the message is being piped out in the anointing of Elijah. They are two fathers. This overthrow is by the devil and his children. The anointing of Elijah.
15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now we do know in Romans 11, God has sent a spirit of slumber over some people because even if they heard, they would fold like a hothouse lily.
16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation?
Now he's talking about when the anointing of Elijah is coming, the two witnesses. He's talking about the generation of the fig tree. Matthew 24 and Mark 13 tell you there is one generation that will not see death in the body. We will change in our spiritual bodies. We will be here not only for the Antichrist and then to usher in the second coming of Jesus. We are the generation of the fig tree. So Jesus says, what are we like? Let's find out what we're like.
It is like children sitting in their markets and calling unto their fellows.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4 says, at the end time, you will have children for princes and babes for rulers. Children, babes will rule over you. It doesn't mean literal children, but people who are like children. How is a child? Self-centered. Me, myself, and I. I don't care anything about you. No common sense and no wisdom. Look about you. Sometimes when human beings do not fill their mind with the Word of God, as they live a little longer, the mind becomes demented. Demented like a child. This prophecy has come true. We have babes for rulers and children for princes. Now, remember the title, America, Is There an Adult in the Room? So, America, is there an adult in the room about climate change? The babes are saying, don't drive your cars anymore. Don't fly your airplanes anymore. Stop eating cows. Oh, my goodness. Is there an adult in the room? Yes, America. Genesis chapter 8, 22, while earth remains, seed time and harvest, winter and summer, heat and cold, day and night shall not cease. We've always had climate change. It's called spring, summer, fall, and winter. An adult in America just told you that. America. Is there an adult in the room about walls, borders? Because the children and the babes ruling over say, we don't want walls. Let the drug gangs come in. Let ISIS come in and kill us. Let little children come in so they can be taken to Jeffrey Epstein's sex place so the babes and the rulers can go and have sex with them. Now, that's what the babies say. Is there an adult in the room in America? Absolutely. Donald Trump is an adult in America, and he built us a wall, and he knew better. He's not against immigrants, but there's something called legal immigration, understand? Yes. Now, there's also an adult in the Bible, King David. He knew that you've got to have walls to keep the enemy out, duh. So he built a wall around Jerusalem. Good King Hezekiah did the same thing. So, all right, is there an adult in the room about gender? The children and babes are saying, now look at there, boy. You call yourself boy. Your plumbing says you're a boy, but you don't have to be a boy. You want to be a girl? Be a girl. Look at there, child. Your plumbing says you're a girl, and one day you grow up and can have babies. No, no, no. You don't have to be a girl. You can be a boy. And if you don't want to be a boy or a girl, you can be one day and one another. That's the children. Is there an adult in the room, America? Yes, Genesis 1. God made them male and female, made he them.
Amen. 17, saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced.
Now, God's got a few wise people. It's called the 7,000 elect. They're alive right now. It's not a literal number. It means perfect. Those who have the perfect truth. In other words, it's small, though, in ratio to all the people in the world. God's elect are piping with their vocal cords and lungs right now. Some of us are the very truth to America. The two witnesses are pumping that truth into God's elect right now. And we have piped unto you the truth, America, that you have sinned, but you are not dancing in obedience. You're out of sync. You're out of rhythm. Because we piped to you and told you, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if every one of you who's a Christian in America will humble yourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, God will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins and heal our lands. But you're not dancing to that. You're going on about your fun.
We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented.
The king of Nineveh fasted when he realized his nation was under judgment. Some of us have called out to you and said, please fast. This kind goes out but by prayer and fasting. Not too many did that.
18. For John came neither eating nor drinking. They say, he hath a devil.
John the Baptist had a purpose. He wasn't about party. I want you to have purpose and not party. The party comes later on in eternity. You know what he ate? Locusts and wild honey. Now, see, you laugh about that. You say, locusts? Ha, ha, ha. Wait a minute. Leviticus 11 says, locusts are good for you. They are clean. Now, some of you who laugh and say, whoo, I never eat locusts, but you're eating the unclean food in Leviticus 11. You're eating bacon. Okay.
19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.
Jesus came to save sinners, and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. He loved them. It didn't mean that he adapted their sin. He came there to save them. Remember, he said, while the bridegroom is with you, you don't go to a wedding and fast, but one day the bridegroom will be taken away from you, and then you'll fast.
But wisdom is justified of her children.
Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom speaks. Wisdom said, I was with God from the very creation. So wisdom is God. So the children princes and the babe rulers, their father could not be God because they do not have any wisdom. So who would their father be? The devil, the children, the Kenites, the seed of Satan, and that would be Cain's descendants. They're ruling right now. But the 7,000 elect, God's elect who are not deceived, being pumped the truth by the two witnesses, our Father is God, because God is wisdom.
20. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not.
They saw all of his miracles. They wanted the miracles. They loved that. But they wanted to go on and have their fun. See, you want to make sure you go to heaven. You want to make sure that God answers my prayers for America. Amen. But you're so busy having fun, you don't join. Uh-oh.
21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida.
We might say, woe unto thee, New York City. Woe unto thee, Chicago.
Because the mighty works that were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes.
Tyre and Sidon was an area where the Kenites, the devil's children, lived. So Jesus says, if even a child of the devil could see the miracles performed, they would believe. Look at New York City. Look at Chicago. A church on every corner. I mean, you could have known the truth. Repent not. Why don't you repent? Because you want to have fun.
22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you.
Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. In the United States of America, we have churches on every corner. God calls a lot of them a house of ill repute. You can get a Bible anytime you want. I've given away thousands of Bibles. There is no excuse for one person in the United States of America not to be saved. But you didn't care. You just wanted the fun. You wanted the money. You wanted the comfort. You didn't want to give your life to Jesus. So woe to you, America. You're under judgment.
23. and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell.
Capernaum means city of compassion. We are called in America a city set on a hill. We were, until recently, the superpower of superpowers, but we've been brought down to hell. Right here on American soil, in Alaska, the Chinese communists call us really bad people. We are the laughingstock of the world because the Communist Socialist Party is now the superpower of superpowers. Why? We have sinned. Church people, you were too busy having fun and making money and working your cell phones and talking on your cell phones and computer games. You didn't fall prostrate on your floor. You didn't give your life to God. Not too late. Remember, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
For if the mighty works that had been done in thee had been done unto Sodom, it would have remained unto this day.
Even Sodom and Gomorrah would still be here if they'd seen the miracles. You've seen these miracles. America is a miracle.
Amen.
When the seed of Abraham, Joseph's son Manasseh, the pilgrims, founded this land, there were no houses here. They came, it was just trees, trees, trees. They didn't even have a place to go in out of the cold weather. Look at the miracle. And now a church on every corner, and you can buy your Bible anytime you want. And if you were really seeking God, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. Amen. I have been here for years. We've been calling and piping. Where have you been? Come.
Amen.
24. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee.
America, to whom much is given, much is required. But still, come on Wednesday, all America, fly in your airplanes, line up in your cars, Wickham Road, Suntree Boulevard, fill up this place all over Rivard, all over Florida, all of America, and let us humble ourselves and pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways. God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins, I will heal your land. Man's adversity is God's opportunity.
25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes.
Now, he's not calling the wicked rulers wise. He's snarky. He said they think they're so wise. God's word says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. You know what he means by babes here? Not the children rulers. He calls his elect the little ones, my little ones, because he has shown his little ones the truth. If you seek the truth, you'll find it.
Amen.
26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Amos 3:7, he says he reveals his secrets to the servants, his prophets. If you seek him with all your heart, if you want to know the truth, he'll give you that. But it's not one little cry, show me your truth, and then away you go. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, total surrender, total putting God first.
28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Rest means a pause, come apart, and pause and think on Jesus. Sabbath means rest. Make Jesus your Sabbath. Get away from those lies and think on Jesus.
29. Take my yoke upon you.
A lot of times farmers put a 4-inch yoke on a horse or oxen's neck, so when the animal's pulling a heavy load, it won't hurt the horse's neck. It comforts the animal.
And learn of me.
Find out who I am, says Jesus.
For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Nothing is more lowly than for God, the creator of the universe, to drop out of heaven and come down here and take a body like us little ants going hither, thither, and yon. And he puts himself, makes himself an ant like we're little ants. Now that's lowly.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And so I want all of you to memorize 28, 29, 30. Let's listen to Jesus say it again.
28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson.
Hi, Sherry. How you doing? That was great. It was a great teaching.
Great teaching.
It was awesome.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the car, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Joel 2, 28 and 30.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Great, Scott. Thank you. That is so great. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if you're not saved and not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it in your heart. And right now, you'll be saved. Here we go. Pray it after me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
I confess I have sinned.
I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I quit right now.
I quit right now.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen. Now, for those of you out in Airland, if you pray that prayer, the Bible says you need to tell someone. Confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear my telephone number. And so I ask you to call me and leave that message on my voicemail. And now I'm going to pray for the sick. I feel led today to pray for people who suffer from allergies because the pollen is falling, okay? Now, I want to give you a little bit of advice. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. I'm not saying that you don't have it. Say, we're not denying the fact. But death and life are the power of the tongue. Let's break the mindset right now. You said, but I suffer from allergies. Stop, stop. No, no, no. You don't suffer from allergies. Stop it, stop it. That's gone. It's a new time. Understand?
Yes.
Don't accept that mindset.
Amen.
Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask according to your word in Malachi 4, for those that fear your name, let the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. I ask the laser beams of Jesus Christ's energy and virtue will flow into the sinus area and unclog that area. Go into the nasal passages, unclog that area. Go into the forehead and make the headache stop. Let the lungs breathe, the voice box breathe. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Allergies be gone.
Amen.
You are free from them. No weapon of allergies ever formed against you again shall prosper. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. You recover health and cure. He heals you of your wounds. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And those of you with thoughts you had allergies, say, I agree. In
Jesus'
name. Now nothing is given you to keep. Go and tell, and God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. You know who your best friend is, Jesus, right? I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
To him, heaven is gone. first defense. And oh, your name is my last amen. It carries me when I cannot stand. It reaches me when I reach the end. Jesus, your name, when the whole world shakes. Jesus, your name, I will ever praise. My battle cry every night. Fights for me and it won't relent. I cast my cares, every burden fall. For there's one name that can bear them all.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
difficult to hear.
They abandon their families, abandon their children, because they are abandoning the blessing.
Dr. Tony Evans tells men who fail to pass on a spiritual heritage to their children that it's not too late.
I don't care how long you've been defeated as a man. Jesus Christ is standing over you today saying, get up, because Jesus loves you.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Blessings come from God, but not just from God. Today, Dr. Evans will touch on the importance of the blessings we pass on and what to do if they were never passed on to us. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 25 as we join him.
Fatherlessness dominates our cultural landscape today. 40% of all children in our country are raised without their biological father. In the African American community, 72% of children born are born to single parents. Whether you're looking at crime statistics or dropout statistics or teenage pregnancy statistics or poverty statistics, over and over and over again, the dominating reality of fatherlessness overwhelms us. Now, fatherlessness comes in many shapes and many forms. Some are fatherless because they've been abandoned by their father. Their father sired a child that they were not willing to take responsibility for. Other forms of fatherlessness is that the father may be there, but he might as well not be there, because he's not accepted the responsibility of fatherhood. And so what we have developed is a generation of young people, children, who are growing up in a fatherless environment, and so they go seeking pseudo-fatherhood. Things that look like it could be a father for me, whether it's a gang or whether it's their posse or their homies or whether some other influence that's not in their best interest. Fatherlessness has become the daunting, overwhelming, painful reality of our culture that is fraying us. When God created man, before he gave him a wife and gave him children, he gave him the responsibility to act on his behalf. But now we have men who are simply satisfied to say, I'm not happy. Let me take a moment to talk about happy. I'm not against happy. I'm for happy. You should want to be happy. There's no benefit to being miserable. On the other hand, happy is not your first order of business. Your first order of business is to be responsible, whether or not you're happy. Because the measure of a man is his acceptance of responsibility under God as he seeks to be happy. But what we are having today are men, because they are no longer happy, abandoning responsibility. And so we are finding ourselves enveloped in a cursed environment because of the crisis of fatherlessness. In our passage today, we have a son begging for the blessing of his father. Esau is begging for a blessing. You must strip your mind about the casual use of the word bless. We say, you know, God bless you, I bless you. We use the word fairly casually today many times. But when Esau was asking Daddy to bless him, he wasn't just saying, Daddy, say, I bless you. No, the blessing was speaking about something else. It was speaking about the continuity of the covenant. A symbol for the word blessing was covenantal continuity. Let me explain what I mean. It is my hope that every head of a household here has a will. If you do not have a will, you're not operating responsibly. A will simply says, this is what I want to happen with what I've been entrusted with to pass on to the next generation. Not having a will is not going to keep you from dying. Many people say, well, I don't like to deal with wills because it reminds me of death. Well, you need to be reminded. A will speaks of an inheritance, usually related to stuff. In fact, folk gather when wills are read with their fingers crossed, hoping that there's a little something, something in there for them. Or more importantly, a whole lot of something, something in there for them. In our story, Jacob, the younger, wants the blessing. So he concocts a plan with his mother, Rebekah, to steal the blessing from the older son, Esau. And so while Esau went out to hunt to get food in order to bring it back to his father for him to get the blessing,